The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
First, I just want to commend Deacon Chuck on that, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That was just like a really convicted way of saying it. I just sort of love that. Sometimes I think that and I just feel in Portland from that one particular spot. And, you know, one of the things when we talk about one of the disciples, I think it's so important, anytime it's a feast of the apostles, that we recognize the reality of what it's like to be persecuted and also to persevere in our faith. One of the things I'll always mention on this feast, because it's a really important distinction, is that when we hear the gospel today, sacred tradition always holds that Nathanael is Bartholomew. That's why on St. Bartholomew, you're reading this reading that's talking about Philip and Nathanael. It's like, why are we talking about Nathanael? I thought it was St. Bartholomew. What do these two things have to do together? So same person. So Nathanael in that particular spot, when he's praying, he's praying under the fig tree. That's kind of the symbolic reference of what that situation is. And so, like, anytime he's contemplating God, he's lifting his prayers up to God, he's communicating with him. That's why he's so shocked when Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." It's like the reason he sees him and knows him is because he was talking to him. And so when those two things coincide, that's like a profound moment for Nathanael to understand that, like, oh, this is the one. Like, how could you have seen me? How could you know that? Because it's like only Jesus could know that. Only God can know that. We were speaking in the sacristy about just the brutality of the martyrdom of many of the saints. I mean, the reason that we wear red today is because St. Bartholomew was martyred. You know, he's one of these people like St. Thomas who traveled very far, like into the Indies, parts of Asia, and different things. They don't even know all of the cities and places that he actually preached the gospel. But in the end, you know, I was reading one particular account that was talking about, it was just like, well, the tradition holds that he was crucified, and then there's another tradition that says he was flayed alive. And then they said, well, in all likelihood, both probably happened. And we were like, oh my goodness, that's just like the most terrible thing you could possibly imagine. But in Persia and in Egypt, there were different parts where that was a common practice to do these things, to crucify them and to skin a person alive. I mean, can you possibly imagine that level of persecution? But you know what the apostles did? For those of you who read the Office of Readings this morning, the second reading is a homily by St. John Chrysostom. And it's an amazing homily that talks about these people that were chosen are not philosophers. They were normal, everyday, like working class people. That's who the apostles were. They didn't have the wisdom that was just like, oh, you know, these are the educated, scholarly class. That's not who they were. But you know what they did? Through this, right here, this being the absolute shield of their life, they went around preaching this, Jesus Christ crucified. And they were willing to meet this same faith. They absolutely knew it was promised by Christ himself that they were going to be persecuted. We're being persecuted right now in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons. It was a promise. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. It's not that we don't fight back or we don't push against it. But what we do, the war that we actually wage, is on our knees and carrying this high above our heads and in prayer. That's exactly what they did. They went around preaching Jesus Christ to the world on their knees and in their hearts. And we also use weapons like this. Our weapons are prayer. That's what we do as we're persecuted. That is the example that had been laid down to us since the foundation of the apostles. We hear in that first reading today from Revelation that the 12 apostles, their names were inscribed essentially on like these foundation stones. So they show us the way, and all but John are killed for the faith, for spreading it, for their prayer, for their piety. But this, you know, in many ways, even though it's not the likelihood of all of us to be killed, to be martyred for our faith, it could be. You know, it's a possibility out there. But because of the same reason that Nathanael believed in Christ is because he was speaking to him. He was communing with God, and God recognized him, and then he recognized God. And when you go out into the world with that kind of prayer in your heart, fueled by this and fueled by what we receive here on the altar in the Eucharist, then you have to ask yourself hard questions. Every single one of us has to ask ourselves, you know, do I spend more time, you know, watching Netflix, watching YouTube, watching the news? Do I spend more time, you know, commenting in chat forums and online in all caps to people online? Or do I spend time in prayer? You know, a lot of the times, Venerable Fulton Sheen, he was the one who really popularized a holy hour in the modern day. Of course, many saints did so before that. But he's the one who really preached about this. It's just like, what does Jesus say to his apostles, right? He says, could you not remain awake for just 1 hour? And that's often that model for a holy hour that we give during the day. And when we really think about the time that we spent during each one of our days, I used to think, a holy hour, that's so long. I know somebody else here knows somebody, it was like a holy hour. I doubt anybody spends a whole hour in prayer. And I was like, I can tell you hundreds of people that I literally know that spend an hour in prayer, sometimes more than that. But if we look at our combined effort during the day, and we add these things up, like, are we spending way, way more time doing sort of menial things that don't bring us closer to Christ? And like I said, I have to ask that question to myself as much as all of us do. But we just have to realize, how much time do we spend giving to the Lord? Because that's how we combat the persecution that we experience, is through that. A lot of the other things can be pride-fueled, but that was one of the things that the apostles had to do the most, is they had to swallow their pride as men. And when we see it on display in the gospel, memorialized for all time, you know, Peter swallowing his pride, Thomas swallowing his pride, having to realize where they were wrong and having to be corrected for it, and then recommitting over and over and over again their life to Jesus Christ. Always knowing with the backdrop of you will be persecuted. It's like I said, it's not an if, it's a when, in one way, shape, or form. But the heroic example through the cross of Christ, through prayer, that people like St. Bartholomew give us are truly there to remind us of the heroic examples that we want to be, that we actually seek to be. But every day, every single day, We're like, how do I do this better? How do I grow closer to the Lord? You know, I really believe that. I think that you guys think that I believe it too. You know, I hope you do, because it's just like I'm always looking and evaluating and stuff like that. And some days I'm just terrible. Some days I sort of just fall apart. But you know, it's like tomorrow's a new day. The next moment is a new moment that we have to grow closer to Christ. And oh, I take these examples so seriously. These people that came before us, there's that phrase, standing on the shoulders of giants. We're absolutely standing on the shoulders of giants in the church. Let them be an example that we follow. And again, always under the backdrop of what Jesus said, my kingdom is not here. So we put our eggs into the basket of the heavenly kingdom and not of this world. God bless you all.